Hello and welcome. Scare track. Episode. Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. Scare Track is a podcast featuring three scare enthusiasts who discuss the crazy world of scare entertainment. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
You're listening to Scare Track, the UK's first scare attraction podcast. Now, welcome your hosts, Mikey, Sean, and Hannah.
Hello and welcome to episode 77 of the Scare Track Podcast. In this episode, we'll be bringing you a few of the latest news and rumours. Our feature section is an interview with Lee Conway from Faceless Ventures, and we finish off the episode with a few updates regarding our next few episodes. My name is Mikey and I'm in the studio with Hannah. Hannah, how's it going?
It's going really well. I've just finished work and have literally flew into the studio to record today. So I'm still in work mode, so I do apologise.
That's all right. I'm sure we'll manage.
Well, this
I'm
isn't
sure
the okay. usual tipsy Hannah we're used to.
No, true. Well, you've got a stud on the go already.
Of course, finished work.
So it's just myself and Hannah on this one. Sean unfortunately couldn't make it. So it's episode 77. It's March 2018, and now it's time for our news and rumours.
The UK scare attraction news and rumours.
So we only had an episode out last week, so there's not a huge amount of news and rumours. However, the biggest news that's on its way is the SCAR Awards nominations. If you're not too sure what they are, if you're overseas and not here in the UK, the SCAR Awards are an annual award ceremony that take place at Europe's only scare convention, ScareCon. This year, it's at Alton Towers Hotel, and it's over two nights, May 22nd and 23rd, and you can get your tickets today by visiting www.scarecon.org.
In other news, Scare Kingdom is back for Wall Purges Night, halfway to Halloween. I'm so excited for this. For one night only, Manor Mortis, Body Snatchers and Psychomantium will return with all new storylines and themes. You can book your tickets for April the 28th by visiting www.scarekingdom.com.
You're listening to Okay, so now it's time for our feature section. We are back in the studio, which means it's time for a brand new interview. Today's interview is with Lee Conway, creative director from Faceless Ventures. Enjoy. Right then, guys, so today's feature section is with Lee Conway, the main guy behind Faceless Ventures. Lee, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm very good. How are you two guys?
We're good, thanks. Yeah, not too bad at all. It's great to have you on the show again. It's lovely to have a friendly face on the show.
Even though you can't see me, which is even friendlier.
But what we want to talk about is all things Faceless Ventures, but first of all, we need to talk about your newest attraction that's coming in just a few days' time, this Saturday, March the 10th, at the Mexborough Business Centre.
Yeah.
You've got Is There Anybody There? So, what's it all about? Tell us, Lee.
Well, I had this idea of, like, it would be quite fun to be able to do some sort of paranormal thing. I think you guys know, I don't know everybody else knows, that Sarah is obviously, she's, like, really into spiritualism. And I'm not, and I don't believe anything. And so I always end up taking the mickey about everything. So I sort of thought it would be really cool if we could do a paranormal investigation about a guy that has been debunked and okay. He's a fraud. So I contacted a guy called Ashton Carter, who I know from... he worked with us on the first Cracked. He also worked with us You'll know him from the fraternity where he was the magician in the fraternity when you had to do the mouse trap, if you remember it.
Oh, like the ball in the box challenge. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and Ashton does mentalist magic, and he also does a Victorian seance. And so I got in touch with him and said, I really want to do this show where the people get to meet this sort of debunked paranormal guy who's this is his first show back since there was a mysterious show that had to be cancelled at a place that he did that actually some people died at, and so see what would happen when he put this paranormal investigation on, and then it sort of all accumulates with a sort of Victorian seance. So that's the idea of where it came from. The fact is that we just thought it'd be just really cool to be able to sort of take a magician and try to bring him into sort of what we do. Ashton also runs a company that does LARPing, which I don't know. Do you guys know what LARPing is?
Yeah. Live action role play.
Yeah, so he does like three.
Jeff Hanna out here. That's right, you're a fan of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, that's it. And he does like 3 day, he does like 3 day events, LARPings at stately manor homes and stuff like that. So it was interesting to sort of get his take on doing what we do. And so it's going to be really fun. So we think we've got a show that's really entertaining, something totally different. You know, you get to be able to go on in round the. You've been to the business park. It's quite spooky anyway.
Yeah, it's a really creepy building.
Yeah, so you get to sort of like go and visit a couple of rooms that you've probably not been in before, and then get down in the basement and sort of find out the stories from the business park, and obviously it was a school before then. And sort of get to use some of the materials that the paranormal investigators actually get to use. So you get to have a good play around before it all accumulates with this seance at the end. And like every good sounds scared awesome. Attraction, something goes wrong.
Of course, it's got to. Awesome.
It sounds good. I mean, like, I love your guys' attractions, and I love the fact that I don't believe in ghosts, just like you. I don't believe in the paranormal. But every single time I come through one of your guys' attractions, you end up making me put my hands on a Ouija board. And even though I don't believe in it, I don't want to put my hands on that. And I think this is something that really could sort of blur that line, because it's a debunked sort of story, isn't it? I think it's something that could blur that line between paranormal and reality, and it sounds really exciting.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, because, you know, this is, you know, these seances are sort of real, what it does. And so that, you know, to get that line between entertainment and the real and try to get it as close to, as you said, blurring it as possible, that's going to be real fun. Ashton came to our house with some goodies the other day, and it was just amazing to watch these guys, how they work. And it's just, you know, it's going to be so much fun for the guys that they're in. I think that's the other thing, is that it is going to be fun. There's going to be as much laughter as there's going to be crying, because it's just, and screaming, because it's, you know, there's going to be stuff where I was sat in our front room and he was showing some stuff, and it was like in sheer amazement actually what these things were doing and how they were doing it. It'll be cool. It'll be a good show.
I probably won't sleep, yeah. I'll be honest. If I'm seeing all that sort of, like, you know, EMF readers or whatever they call them and going off the charts, and like, it could probably even debunk it for me and just say, that's just your washing machine, Mikey. No, it's a poltergeist trying to get me. The washing machine isn't on. Oh, yeah, it's on a long cycle.
Well, it was quite funny that, obviously, as I said, because I don't really believe it, we've done a couple of them, but we did a ghost tour, like a paranormal investigation of the emergency museum. And you guys have been there, you know how spooky that place is anyway. And
yeah.
There were just me, and there was Sarah, and there was Matt and Josh from the museum. And we had a couple of guys from a company called Seeking Spirits, and I find that when I'm in anything like that, I naturally try to look for a logical answer.
Yeah.
And there was some stuff that I actually sort of said to the guys that were running it, like, I can see how you're doing this. It's like, that leg's what's shorter than the other ones, and that's why it's toppling and it's walking towards me. But there were other stuff that were happening that I were like, I really don't know what's happening now. This is very strange.
And that sort of stuff is something, like Hannah said earlier, you might even have some of that stuff happen, you know, this Saturday.
It's true. Well, I mean, we put the lines. Yeah, well, we put a post out on, there's a, like a Mexborough Facebook group, like there's a Facebook group for everything. And we sort of said, can people get in touch with ghost stories about the building? And they come up with some great stories. You know, there were some of them that were sort of like constantly being brought up and that, you know, there was these things that happened. And so what we've tried to do is just similar to what we did with Kane, Who Am I at the museum, is that we've incorporated these stories into it. The only problem is now is, and I'm not sure this is the safest thing to do, is we're going in there without a paranormal group to get us out of any shit if something happens.
So, if you want to see Lee before Saturday, is it, send him all of your love and wishes, just in case.
Yes.
Is anybody there? Is obviously it's more of a sort of psychological and paranormal sort of thing. And it's another piece of immersive theatre, which is the sort of route you guys have gone down more so recently.
Yeah.
Is it like another sort of like 20-minute to 30-minute like paranormal investigation / scare attraction kind of thing, or, you know,
this one's a little bit longer. It's an hour.
Oh wow!
So you get there's a sort of like build up to the story. You get to do the paranormal bit, and then there's the seance at the end. So it's that the whole event lasts around about an hour, just under, just awesome. In and out. So it's going to be something a little bit longer for us, which is good, and you know. The immersive theatre stuff is the stuff is exciting me at the moment because it's just something different.
Absolutely.
And
we were talking about it off air. Is that it? You know, it's sort of having a little bit of a buzz down in London, but in the UK, that's the only place.
Yeah.
And what I'm liking at the minute over the past few months of your guys' events is that you're bringing a type of immersive theatre. Up north. But it also sort of feeds into our world a bit because it's more immersive horror theatre or immersive dark theatre.
I think it's a good blend of like the two categories.
Very good blend, absolutely.
It goes for the theatre goers that like to be immersed, and it goes for the avid scare attraction fans, and it also goes for horror fans, paranormal enthusiasts. I think that it's a great mix, and I'm really excited to see how it goes on Saturday.
Yeah, it's. I mean, our love is still the scare, but. We don't, at this moment in time, we really have no interest in building scare attractions. And it's sort of, this is the stuff that I'm sort of wanting to write. And this is the sort of stuff that going forward that we want to do. But it's just, you know, the main thing is just chipping into these different markets, which is, you know, we sort of said off air is that Mexborough is not a hub for most things, and it's definitely not a hub for theatre. And it's, you know, this is an ex-mining village that sort of, you know, it's got a Witherspoons, and that's really the hub of everything. But it's, you know, it's something that we're sort of passionate about, and we'll just keep plugging away. We are looking at doing different things, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in a bit. But it's like in the future, in sort of bigger places, and. But it's, you know, it's very difficult sometimes that you've got to, you know, I'm sure there's some people that, you know, that create scare attractions that just sit there and think, we'll just play safe again and know that we're going to get the people through the door and so we're going to get the money.
Yeah.
So, but it's not what we've ever done. And it's like we've always generally since, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, I'd rather sort of do something that I really, really felt passionate about.
Yeah, I think you can see that in past past productions that you guys have put forward.
Definitely. You can always see that there's a thought process and a storyline and passion behind it. Like you said, you're not one of these people that just opens an attraction to make money, and it really shows in everything you do. And it's one of the reasons why people are so excited every time you guys come up with something, no matter, you know, what kind of name you're under, Face Suspension.
Yeah, we've had some over the years, haven't we? Jesus.
people genuinely, like, follow you guys because of your imagination and where you can take us. And it's something that I'm personally am always excited for.
Yeah. You've got your own table at ScareCon, even. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's following it. Everyone's seeing, where's that table? Where are they?
The one at the back, out of the way, so we don't know.
Oh, yeah. It's that one year that when they were doing the Cracked talk, and no one at that point knew who was behind Cracked, and you guys stood up, and I was just like, well, why aren't Lee and Sarah standing up? What's going on?
I think they're confused. This is about Cracked.
This isn't about them. And then you're headed to the stage, and it's like, what? And it's just something that just shows that the way your guys' minds works, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it works well.
Yeah, it's as I say, I think from probably when, just before we, because before that, I mean, even going back to stuff we did at the museum was slightly different, but it's the fact is that probably from then onwards that it was always wanting to look at the diversity, and I've always had the passion for the stuff that's coming out of the West, like the sort of, like, from Los Angeles and from America, that, you know, that obviously the stuff that Heretic were doing and the sort of, like, the more extreme stuff like that. But then, you know, when you delve into it more and you see the immersive theatre stuff that's coming out of there on a weekly basis, that they're just churning out one after another, that's, you know, that's just quality immersion. And, you know, like, and, you know, and that's where we sort of got the idea for Fraternity from, that obviously from, like, the tension experience stuff. And it was, so it's, but that is the stuff that, you know, that if you write stuff with passion, then I think it shows. And, you know, we've all been through, you know, we've all been through Scare Attractions, and you guys have been through as many as I have, that you can say, they're just going through emotions this year with this. And it's, you know, it's there because it's a thriller, or it's there because it's been there for 2 years and it's got to be there another year before they change it. And it's, you know, that it's like, is that really shortchanging the guys that are going through it? Instead of, you know, instead of showing the passion of doing something that you really want to do,
I can see that. And it's, I mean, that's okay sometimes, say if somewhere has a new attraction this year,
yes,
or there's a new story on this attraction, but if there's certain places that, say, have three or four attractions, then they're the same year in,
it's
year
complacent.
Out. It is complacent, yeah, definitely. You can tell that that's something, I mean, this one, Is Anybody There, is totally different looking like to, you know, Fraternity or to Diary of the Deceased. Although they come under the same bracket of, you know, a horror immersive theatre, they're very different to each other, different storylines, different characters. And like we say, the key word in there is theatre. You're going to see a different type of theatre production that you guys put on, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the other thing as well is, and it probably doesn't help us in the long run, and then I think this is the thing that sort of, you know, that hindered us more than helped us over the years, is the fact is that we do try to hit different markets. And so if you're just going to do a product and that's all you're doing is a product, so say you gain like an 18s plus product a la Cracked. If you're doing just that product, then people know you as every attraction that you go through is going to be like this.
Yeah.
But
that's
then
a good point, because people were unsure about Fraternity, weren't they? Because
100%.
Because of Cracked.
Yeah, and so then if you're trying to give people a different measures, and this is probably, you know, this is our fault and more than anybody, is that the fact is that, you know, it's that Fraternity were probably like a 15 plus. Diary of the Deceased were, well, I think it was 12 and over, we sort of said. This one, anybody could go through it, but then we might, you know, I'm writing one at the moment, which will be back up towards like an 18 plus, but then after that, there might be another one that sings. So it's like, you know, it's difficult because nobody then gives, you know, they don't know if to go through it or not going through it.
Yeah.
But so
you're victims of your own diversity.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, and it's like, but I don't really want it.
Have you found that people, because of how popular Cracked was and because of how intense it was, have you found that people now shy away potentially from anything you do?
I think so, yeah. And I think, especially, we found that with Fraternity.
For me personally, with Fraternity, I was nervous.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I've loved everything you guys did before you did Cracked, and I've personally loved everything you've done since, but for me, because Cracked was a tipping point in the UK market for extreme sort of attractions, for me Fraternity was a bit of a nerve-wracking thing to go through. Loved it, it was brilliant, it wasn't too extreme, it wasn't too mild, it was, for me, it was the perfect measure. But have you found that people potentially have shied away because of Cracked?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Yeah, and it's, but that, it's, you know, in a way, it's difficult because I would love to be able to put these immersive theatre productions on and get, like, hundreds of people through the door. And there will all be people that obviously say, I don't know if I really want to go through that because it's the guys that did Cracked. Well, but then am I, in a way, the only way I can answer that is that do I wish that I'd not done Cracked? The answer to that would be no.
No, not at all. I think it was a great move for you guys.
Well, you don't want to be known as a one-trick pony, and I think these, you know, predecessors to Cracked, the other attractions, have shown that, really.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I sort of think with Cracked, and it was sort of like going back to obviously being friends with Gary and Gav from G&G, is that, you know, with Cracked, is I always wanted that Project Fear attraction. The one that, you know, you think of G&G, you think of Project Fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted that attraction where that, you know, when we've packed in and left it to the kids to do what they need to do, and we can sit back, is that, you know, in 20 years' time, that if somebody remembers us, right, the PUP or Faceless Venture or something, the first thing that they're going to say is, I remember for Cracked.
Yeah,
and but we have that, so we managed to be able to do that attraction where people remember us from. But then again, on the other way is that, you know, it's hard to, as I say, going back to what we said, it's hard to get people through some attractions when they remember you from that.
Yeah, good point. But I suppose if you're marketing this correctly, so for example, if you are looking on the Faceless Ventures Facebook page at the moment, and it's all for your latest attraction, is there anybody there? You know, a new customer and whatnot. It's very obvious of, you know, this is an immersive theatre attraction. It's not too intense. You're not going to be, you know, there's nothing intense about it.
No.
So you know, obviously people know what they're coming for in that respect, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we've got some people that are coming back through this that had never been through Scare Attractions that just fancied something different when they did Diary of the Deceased, and they're coming back and doing this one. So they've really got no sort of recollection of anything else.
Yeah, of course.
So it's just trying to find that market, because, it don't matter how much we sit here and say how much the Scare Attraction industry is moving, it's still such a small market.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Sometimes when I say what we do,
yeah,
people are still, it depends who you speak to. Like, to people at ScareCon, it's second nature. To
exactly.
People that, like, enthusiasts you meet at theme parks, it's second nature. But you speak to it about, to my staff at work, and they go, what, like ghosts and what? Like ghost stories and stuff. And I'm like, well, no. What, a bit like a ghost train? Well, kind of, but
no,
so
not.
It depends whereabouts you are in the country as well. If you were in Surrey, you'd go, you know, like Thorpe Park Fright Nights. Oh, yeah. I get it. Or if you're in Staffordshire, you'd go, you know, like Horton Tower Scarefest. Oh, I see. But for certain parts of the country, it's still...
It's true.
They're not quite getting it still.
I was talking to somebody at work only today, and they were... We sort of renovated somebody's house, and we went in, and they were sat watching... Vampire Diaries, and I said, oh, I love anything horror, and I love these things like this. And I say, have you ever been through a scare attraction? And they're like, look here, like I'd asked them, have you ever landed on the moon?
Yeah.
Because there's just a vacant look, like, what the hell are you talking about? And then they'll go, and then you just go, you know, like Alton Tower Scarefest, and like, oh yeah, I know what you mean now. And it's like,
yeah, it, you know, takes them a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you're trying to market this on whatever, any sort of ways of marketing, Facebook or whatever. And it's like, you know, people still do not know until they've been. And so obviously you've got, like, you, you can have your screen parks that's going to get you year in, year in trade. But a lot of the stuff that we do is all out of season. And that, you know, that though it's getting slightly more popular, is the fact is that out of season attractions are still not,
definitely.
Still not big.
And it's sometimes hard to actually find the market. So I remember we were there the year you did The Pit at HorrorCon in Sheffield. Yeah, I love The Pit. But we thought that, you know, HorrorCon, it's very film-based, based on horror films.
Yeah.
There's got to be loads of people who are going to love to go through this scare attraction, or there's going to be loads of people that have done scare attractions. And the vast majority didn't have a clue on what it was, what kind of thing it was, and the genre of scare attractions at all. And you're like, you know, this isn't a wedding convention. It wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a monster truck convention. It wasn't the superbikes. It was people who are there because they are cult fanatics of all things horror.
Yeah.
Film, movie, comic book, that kind of thing.
Mm.
But when it came to the real life action theatrical part of things, the vast majority, I think we all agree, didn't have a clue on what it was.
No, they didn't want to go through. There were lots that just said no. No, that they loved horror and they wanted to meet all the stars, but they had no intention of going through anything like that. And it was.
But then you can look at it the other way, though. I'm not actually a big horror movie buff. I'm better now because Hannah's got me into it.
Yeah,
and he was a wimp.
Oh, I still am a wimp.
I remember you saying to me, "Who wants to watch a film about someone that kills people in their dreams?"
Who does want to watch Nightmare on Elm Street?
Every single one. And you've said they were pants.
A few were bad. A few were great, but a few were bad. But yeah, so you could argue it like that. My brother is a big horror film fanatic. He loves it. And it took us like 5 or 6 years to get him to go through his first scare attraction, only just this year gone. So I suppose it happens. There is that sort of void between them, I guess.
I think so, and I don't think it's. I mean, when we tried that, it was, you know, we thought this can't fail. This is like, you've got thousands of people within that love horror. Surely, like, there's got to be a certain percentage that will go through an attraction. And but it weren't. It were just and I don't think that will ever be. I don't think that'll ever be sort of become normal. And
no.
I mean, you know, there's hundreds of horror cons around the country, and I think that's the only one that I've ever seen a scare attraction there, so obviously nobody's ever tried it again, so I don't know.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Absolutely. So obviously we've spoken about the most recent attraction that's coming up in just a few days, Is There Anybody There? We spoke a little bit about Cracked. If anyone listening that doesn't know Cracked, I'm pretty certain all our listeners know about Cracked, but we do have a few overseas listeners as well. Now it's basically a 6-hour you know, survival event. And you guys have done other attractions like Kane, Who Am I, and The Pit, like we spoke about earlier. But let's talk a little bit about future stuff for Faceless Ventures, because you're one of the leading companies now doing out of season attractions, which is great. We just wish you were closer to us. So you've got Is There Anybody There coming up this Saturday, and we'll tell listeners, you know, how to get tickets for that a little bit later on when we wrap up. But what comes next after that? Is it Pick Me?
No. First is Crack versus Heretic in Los Angeles.
Oh, crikey, yeah. So you're going to LA. Jealous.
I know.
So how did all that come about? I know those guys came over here for Cracked. So what's happening with you guys going over there?
We talked to them while they was here, and we just decided that we had lots of people from Los Angeles, or from America really, just saying, oh, they'd love to do Cracked. And
that's got to be awesome in itself, really. Like, it's really fun. Nice.
I mean, you've been through Cracked, and I think when you've been through, there's probably been people from different countries. But anything that we take out of this industry is that the fact is that, you know, Cracked versus Heretic last year in Wakefield, 3 nights, 13 different countries, and it just like to sit there and just think, this is amazing that. You know, that Christina had flown in from Kuwait. There was some from LA. Virtually every country that you can think about, that major country in Europe, was sort of to get people in there. That, you know, this is the sort of thing that, you know, that makes you think, well, it's cool what we do. But so we decided that, you know, that we'd sort of look at taking crack to America. And so we talked to Adrian from Heretic, and you know, the stuff that Heretic are doing is that it is just amazing. And all I can say is that, you know, we're hoping to get the guys across later on this year to do, we're writing sort of like an overnight experience, and you guys have got to come through, because the guys, the stuff that these are doing from Heretic is just out of this world. It's just leaps and bounds above, like above anything that's been shown over here regarding the immersive horror stuff. It's just,
yeah,
you know, you talk to the guys that have been through Crack versus Heretic, and you know that, I mean, we had something like, it was like 30% of people actually finished the 6 hours this time, but there was nobody that actually quitted within the Heretic stuff. And this stuff was brutal, absolutely brutal, but it was done so well, and it was themed so well and narrated. It was just amazingly cool how these guys put the stuff together. And to sort of, you know, one of the days I actually sort of got to sit in a corner really quietly in the dark and just watch how these guys work, and it was just in awe how sort of professional and how good that you got a guy that was sort of must have been 20 stone, it absolutely built like any sort of like pro wrestler you would think, so a proper animal, and he threw people around a room and nobody come out with a scratch or a mark or a dint or a bruise or anything, because everything were done so well. We had less sort of we've never had a major injury, but we had less minor injuries. So if we think of scratches, cuts, bruises, things like that on this one Crack versus Heretic that we had on any of the others. And it was just down to the fact is that how well these guys did. And it's, you know, this is why that week in, week out, these guys are selling out shows in Los Angeles. And it's, you can tell well, because it's the stuff that Adrian comes up with is that, you know, some people said to me that some of the stuff that we write is fucked up, but the fact is that this guy is proper fucked up. And it is proper, really good stuff. And it's, so we're really buzzing to be able to go over there and sort of like play our trade in their backyard this time.
Yeah,
and so it'd be cool. So we're doing two nights, and then sort of, so it'd be fun, because, you know, if it never happens again, then the fact is that, you know, we can say that we've done it.
That's a good.
And you get to go to LA.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. Get to go to LA, put on like your, you know, that Cracked is your baby, and you're getting to show that to an American crowd with, you know, the people that will follow Heretic and, you know, do their attractions. That's hats off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
And did you say that the people that came through Cracked v Heretic didn't quit in Heretic but quit in Cracked?
Yeah, most of them. Because I think that the Cracked was probably a little bit more harder and brutal. And
I'm excited to see you go to LA and make them all crack,
honest. We had a guy called Jason Lilly, and Jason lives in America, and he promotes UFC, not UFC fights, but he promotes mixed martial arts fights. And virtually has been through every major extreme haunt in the world, virtually, apart from McCamey Manor.
I was going to ask then, including that one.
No, we don't talk about that.
No, that's it. Christina's been through that numerous times because she's just crazy. But
who goes through that twice?
I think she's been through it three times, actually.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
I know. And when he went through, when Jason went through Crack vs Heretic, the review he did for Haunt.net, he said that it was the pinnacle and the defining moment of immersive horror entertainment. So it were like, you know, this is a guy that like 3-4 weeks before had just been through Tension, and it were like, oh my god, this is just amazing that, you know, that. So it, you know, that working with Adrian's just been a dream, and he's so good. So it's fun, but so that's the next thing we've got, is it obviously in April, and then we've got in June. We're working on one called Pick Me now. At the moment, it's down.
I'm intrigued about this one.
Yeah, it's an idea that I had was working on speed dating, that you would get so many speed dating, and then you would talk to them for a couple of minutes, and then after you'd finished, you would then get to pick which one you wanted to go on a date with. And then you would reenact a scene within that date. And so each one would be have a different characteristics, and some of them may not be how you think, but it's for you to decipher within that small amount of time that you're with them who that you think that would be your perfect date. So that's where it all started. And it, well, the main thing with that is that, you know, that you go into scare attractions and there's like some people, like everyone that acts in all these attractions have all got their own characters. So I sort of thought that if you could sort of take a group of them and put them in things, that they would all act totally different because you would all be different characters. So if you could do that and then go on a date with them, then
that sounds very, very, very different. Yeah.
Each one would be totally different. So in theory, that say there's, we, it's not been confirmed as such within like numbers, but the fact is that if you had five and you went, you speed dated five people, and then at the end you got to pick which one you want to go on a date with, there would be a way that obviously one got to pick first, and so all five would be then picked on a date. Then you would go off and have that date. But depending on the person that you've picked, obviously, on his how your date would go.
Okay. So there's multiple sort of routes it could go down.
Well, in theory, yeah, if there's five different characters, then you could go through it five times and have five different showings.
Yeah.
So I always like that the first cracked is that I remember somebody saying to me at ScareCon once, I know everything that's happened in Cracked. And this was the first year that we did it, which was with, we had 10 games and we had 10 pods at that time. To go through that attraction, you would have had to go through it 10 times and go out 10 different games to be able to see every one of the permutations that they went through. And I always thought that were really cool, that the fact is that when somebody came out of Cracked, is that the fact is that everybody had a different, experience.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Christina went out on the first game, she was voted out, which was awful, but then she got to see all 10 pods, but she saw none of the games. But then Danny won that first year, I think, and she went through them all and she never got to see any of the pods.
Yeah, so it's different, isn't it?
So
everyone's got a different go.
Yeah, so everybody got to see things. So it's like, I thought, well, it'd be really cool to give everybody that thing. And the fact is, if somebody wanted to come through and go through it again, well, they could do that. They could go through it five times, and each one, as long as they didn't get the same, like, date, it would be a totally different. The ending may be the same, or but you would not get the same experience.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to sort of do, I guess, with Pick Me. Which sounds... It does sound bizarre, but it sounds intriguing bizarre, if that makes sense.
It is.
Like, I've never been on a speed date myself, but they're probably horrific. They're probably horrific anyway.
Yeah.
So to have one with, you know, Faceless Ventures behind it, it's going to be... even weirder. Hannah's just looking at me thinking, I do not want to go on a speed date.
Oh, God, no. I couldn't think of anything worse.
It's true, isn't it?
I'm done. I'm locked in.
So, yes, we'll be working on that. We're also working on... we've got sort of like a long-term project that I'm working on with Nick Hudson. We're hoping to get out this year. I've had this idea of... being able to do an attraction that's movable, that you're not stuck in one place.
Yes, yeah.
So we came up with this idea between us that we could do, what would happen is you would be picked up in a pub and...
Perfect, Hannah's ears
pricked up. Yeah, she's like, yes! And then you stay in the pub and then you stop in a bit longer and then it's a perfect attraction for Hannah. And me, I think, yeah. But then you were drove to different locations and the attraction moved with the locations you went to, and that would be all run through audio.
Okay.
So while you were driving,
Nick Hudson, musician, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
So while you were driving in the car, you could be listening to a news report, or you could be listening to a podcast, or you could be listening to something else that moved the story along.
I'm very smart. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And then when you got to a location, something else would happen, and then you'd be put back in the car, and you move to a different location.
That sounds really cool. That's a really smart idea. Yeah.
It sounds really cool until you actually sit down and try and write it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's sort of taking that. So imagine like an Evil Rising or 2.8 Hours Later. It's taking that idea, but just making it bigger, really, isn't it? Because there you'll walk a perimeter of a mile or so, whereas this is, it could go anywhere. You just don't know where you're going.
Well, the glory thing is that we said that if you take a route from the major cities, because obviously a traffic problems, it's a production that could be taken to any place.
Yeah, definitely.
Because all you would need is. The glory thing about 2.8, and you know, everybody was sad when it happened to it, the fact is that the same thing you saw in Sheffield the night before were put on in Nottingham, and the night before that were put in Edinburgh, and the night before that the current things. There was no difference to the stories. It was just that the fact is that they put whatever they had in that city to the story.
Yeah.
But it was so cool. So the idea is that initially we started to write 3-4 different stories, so you wouldn't just have one. The idea is that if you decide, because it's in a car, you can only get 3-4 people in it, so it would all be intimate. And the fact is that you could probably say it were your birthday, you think, oh, I'd like to try one of these drive me stories. That what you do is you could get in touch with us and say, I want to do this story and I'd like to do it on Saturday, and I've had a look through and I don't want to do the alien story, I'd like to do the witches one. Can you do me this one? Blah, blah, blah. And then you just sort of set it up, and then we set it up for you.
Okay. Oh, I like that. That's smart. Yeah. Something ambitious, something different. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll work on it.
That's somewhere. Look for it sometime, someplace.
It will be soon.
Awesome. And, did I see some rumblings on Facebook, I think on your page, that Fraternity might be coming back?
Yeah, Fraternity were always a three attraction show. Yes, it will come back at one point. Maybe later on in the year. We obviously, people that came to Diary of the Deceased obviously got to meet one of Megan's friends that were going around trying to find her. So,
yeah.
So I think she's still trying to hunt her down. So I'm sure that in the near future, the Fraternity will be back. It was so much fun doing that. And I really enjoyed it. And as a show, I think it was just totally different. And I think I had so much pride in that show because it was totally different, and to see you guys come out as you did, but still laughing and sort of going, that was just so weird and different, and it was, that's the sort of stuff that that sort of we really enjoy doing.
Definitely, and it was weird and different, and like Hannah said earlier, it was just that perfect amount of, it's intense, but you're not going to safe word. It's quite in your face. It's a little bit dramatic. It's quite, extreme-ish. It's extreme-esque, isn't it? It's a bit different. There's not many attractions you go through barefoot,
For me, it was the perfect amount of telling a story and pushing you, but not too far that you needed the safe word. Like, it's nice that it was there, but I didn't feel like there was ever a point that it was needed. I think that it was a nice balance. Whereas when you go into a attraction where you think, I'm going to need to remember this safe word, that's a whole different experience.
Yeah.
I think so. And it was funny that you sort of, the bit that you just mentioned, Mike, is the bit that I always wanted in an attraction, is that the barefooted thing.
Yeah.
Was the first thing when we sort of sat down with Gary and started to decide what we're going to do with Fraternity, is that the first thing I said to him is, I want the first scene for them to be bathed and be barefoot.
Yeah, that was
bizarre.
And
that was because most people don't like the feet being touched.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that to walk through an attraction with your bare feet, you get the different sort of feelings on your feet, which is always going to be different. Whatever room you were in, you would get that different feeling.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, something that I always thought, this is what going to be really, really strange, and we're always going to be really, really unusual. So I really sort of enjoyed it. I did enjoy that. Yeah. So
no, definitely. But it was enjoyable. Yeah. So that'll be coming. It's on the horizon. That one.
It's on the horizon. We're also wrote. We've also done an extended version of Diary.
Okay.
Which is hopefully we're going to take that to like bigger places this year. So we're hoping to take it to Sheffield, Manchester, and maybe even London.
Wow. But
like a longer version, like a hour and a half version. So that'd be fun because, you know, I think Diary were just, you know, that it wasn't scary, was it really?
No,
but
it was
just.
No.
Different,
yeah,
again.
It was great. I loved it. It's very, again, different. Yeah, it's always nice to see something different. Definitely.
Yeah.
So I think we've covered all bases, but the main thing we need to know is obviously to let all our listeners know regarding is there anybody there this Saturday, 10th of March.
Yep.
So how can the guys? What do they need to know? How do they get tickets? How much is it? When exactly? When and where is it as well?
Well, it's in Mexborough at the Mexborough Business Centre. And they'll be able to get tickets from if you go onto Facebook. I think there's a sign there that just takes them through to the ticket place. Or if not, if you go on the internet and just go to facelessventures.co.uk, you'll be able to buy tickets there. The tickets are £12.
Perfect.
So it should be a quite a different Mother's Day present.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
obviously,
definitely.
It'll be Mother's Day on the Sunday, but. So, yeah, there's a few tickets left for each one. So, yeah, if anybody wants to come through. As I say, it'll be... it's going to be an interesting show. And obviously, working with Ashton makes it different to get that different feel from most people that work around Scare Attractions.
Yeah.
So, which is, you know, that I think that's the main thing is that, you know, that I think... So if you get somebody that's that don't get set in the ways as such regarding attraction, I think we all do sometimes.
Oh, yeah,
no matter
definitely.
How you look at it, we all do.
You can bring
so
a new dynamic
refreshing.
To it, as such.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what which it is. Which is, you know, that'd be fun.
Awesome, sweet. Oh, I hope it goes really well. Best of luck for this Saturday.
Yeah, no problem.
And Lee Conway, Faceless Ventures. Thank you very, very much for coming on the Scare Trap podcast.
Thank you for having me on.
You're listening to
So to finish off the episode, we wanted to let you guys know what's coming up on the next few shows.
Firstly, you may have seen on the ScareCon Facebook page that Scare Tour and ScareCon will soon be releasing the nominations for the annual Scar Awards. It's now become tradition for us to dedicate an episode to the Scar Award nominations, so watch this space.
Yeah, that's right. You sounded very peppy then.
I am peppy.
Peppy Hatley, not usually.
It's because I'm sober.
That's right. However, this year we have even more voices to hear as we invite our new on-location hosts to join us in the studio for the very first time to discuss this year's nomination. So we'll have myself and Hannah. We'll also have the boy wonder himself, Sean. And we'll be joined in the studio for the first time by Miss Kate Monroe and Martin. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited. I don't think we've had... everyone in the studio all together yet.
No, well, it's because they're all... They're,
I think it's going to be too
we
many
We only use them for on-location stuff when we can't... We just use and abuse them. And they just use us for tickets, so...
Oh, yeah, but they're great guys to use and abuse, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
Then towards the end of the month, we will be recording on location again, this time at Thorpe Park Resort. The Scared Track podcast were kindly invited by Thorpe Park to join them on their VIP press launch event of The Walking Dead The Ride. Be sure to join us on our social media live from the press event on March the 29th. Something else I'm also very excited for, because it's a press night, means free booze.
Oh, yeah. And to find us on that night and beforehand to interact with us, as always, just join us on our social media. Just search the word Scare Track. One word, Scare Track. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. So be sure to join us on all those platforms to keep up to date with the scares. So that brings us to the end of episode 77 of the Scare Track podcast. Thank you so, so much for listening to the show. Hannah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.